star, a document. If I want to buy a house, I pass the document over to the seller, and I will buy the house. I can give money, kesef, and number three is chazaka, which means three things. Chazaka means I either dig a hole in the property that shows I own it, either I build a fence, or I lock it, or I can walk around. Actually, it's four things. So just to review that, to buy real estate, you can give shtar, kesef, and chazaka. And chazaka means one of four things. That's to purchase real estate. And one of the ways that Avraham Avinu acquired Eretz Yisrael is he walked around Eretz Yisrael. So he became the buyer of Eretz Yisrael and gained the title to the ownership. And then there is something called metaltalim, which are movables. Now, how do you buy, what's a movable? A car, a basketball, baseball, football. How do you buy those things? So some examples are hagbah. I can pick it up. If I want to buy a car or a cow, I can pull it. I can also do mesir, I can give it over. Those are kinyanim, especially for metaltalim. And the topic that we're going to talk about tonight, God willing, is something called a kinyan sudar, which is known either as a kinyan sudar chalipin, which is I give a handkerchief to someone, and they give me back their million-dollar house. That's called sudar as a handkerchief, like at a chasana. Have you ever been at a chasana when you see the rav that's mesader kishu represents the kala, and the chasan is mechayiv himself in the ksuba because he loves his wife so much that in the event, God forbid, he dies, or God forbid, he would divorce her, he's going to take care of her financially. So the husband obligates himself financially. And how does he do that? The rav was representing the kala because it's in her best interest. The kala doesn't even need to appoint the rav because zachem amishalov afanav, it's in her best interest. So the rav, who's mesader kishu, represents the kala, and the chasan picks up a pen and he obligates himself in the ksuba. And since he obligates himself in the ksuba, then the agents see that and they sign on the ksuba. So that's called kinyan sudar or chalipin. Chalipin is a swap, and sudar is with the handkerchief, but it's the same concept. So kinyan sudar is the only kinyan that works in both areas. It works to buy real estate, and it works also to buy movables. And the reason for that is because there's a pasuk in Rus that says L'chaim kol davar. If you remember the story in Rus, the ability to acquire Avimelech's property was given over to Boaz from the Goel. They made a kinyan. They used a shoe, actually. Instead of a handkerchief or a pen, they used a shoe. And that became known as kinyan chalipin. But it works for every area. It works for real estate, it works for metaltalin, and we're going to have to discuss why that's so. So, as an introduction, it's important to know that there are two areas in halacha to purchase things. Real estate, karka, which we said there are four ways to do that. Kesef, shtar, chazaka. Chazaka meant four different things. And metaltalin, movables, are either akbah, meshich, and mesira. And then you have kinyan sudar, which works for both areas. Now, the three ingredients that you have for every kinyan is an action of a kinyan. I was saying earlier, I interrupted myself. There's an action in the middle, which is could be hakbah, lifting up, could be meshicha, could be kesef. And then there is a requirement called das makna and das kone, the willingness of the seller and the willingness of the buyer. Those are the three ingredients you need for every kinyan halacha. You have to willingly, the seller has to be willingly want to sell it, and the buyer has to be willingly want to buy it. You can't take a gun to someone's head and force the guy to sell it to you, or force the woman to sell it to you. And you can't take a gun to the buyer's head and say, buy it, or I'm going to kill you. It has to be done willingly. So those are the three ingredients in every kinyan. Maisa kinyan, das makna, das kona. Okay. So let us now embark upon the topic at hand, and that's when we want to talk about what's called the kinyan sudar. And the kinyan sudar, when the Rambam writes about kinyan, is known as the archetypical kinyan. The best kinyan in the world, the Rambam seems to say, is a kinyan sudar or a kinyan chalipin. Okay, we're going to have to see why, but one hint that we've already seen is It's the only Kenyan that works in both areas. It can purchase real estate, and it can also purchase movables. Okay, so let's begin. There is a concept in halacha, and you know, the most in-depth area in lumdus and learning is Choshen Mishpat, financial matters. So it's an important area, and it's important that we learn it and study it well. I remember Avraham Yafin Zatzal once told us, the great Rosh Yeshiva in the Chevron Yeshiva, the last Mishnah in Bava Basra says, Arotza Sheyachkin, if you want to get really smart, Yasok Bedini Momenis, you should engage in learning in financial areas, because there's no harder miksoa, no harder field in learning in Shas than Dini Momenis. And if you want to do that, you should be Mishamshin of the Tana. You should mishamish. You should study by the Tana Benanas. Benanas is one of the Tanoim, was a big expert in this area. So that's what the last Mishnah in Baba Basra says, and that's what we're learning in Yeshiva this year, Masechet Baba Basra. So, there is a concept in any transaction you do in Halacha, there is a concept of Edim. What is Edim? Witnesses. They have witnesses. Now, in Gittin and Kedushin, Edim are essential. You cannot have a get or you cannot have a kedushin without Edim. Those are called Edim l'kiyumei hadavar. The Ritva coins a phrase that without Edim, you cannot have a get, you can't have kedushin. They are essential. Absolutely essential. We have the chasin appointed to Edim and a chasinah to the exclusion of everyone in the room. Relatives cannot be witnesses. But Edim are absolutely essential. When it comes to financial matters, if I lend a guy money, let's say I lend him $100, it is recommended that I have Edim there. That's called Edim Livrurei HaDavar, to clarify the matter. Because I don't want him to play games with me. Oh, you know, after Stam HaVaz 30 days, you don't give a date. The Gemara says in the beginning of Makkah, said 30 days. So we didn't give a time frame of 30 days there. I said, listen, you know, I lent you money. Can I have $100 back? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. So I don't have to play games. So what do? I get to Edim when I lend him the money. So that's recommended. They clarify the matter. But let's say I lent the money with no one there. Does he still owe me the money? Yes or no? Of course he does. They're not essential to the loan. Whereas by getting the Kedushin, they are absolutely essential to the loan. Not to the loan, but to the get or the Kedushin. But by a loan, they're recommended. They're called Livrurei HaDavar, to clarify. But they're not essential. The kiyume means they are essential. So, normally, what is the function of Edim in all the financial matters? The Gemara is a line in Kedushin and Samachayim and Beis. It says, Lo ivri sahadi el lashakri. Edim are created so no one lies. Exactly what we said, to create an insurance policy. So, Tosos and Kedushin, Samachayim and Beis says, what happens if you do a deal with a kinyan sudar? I give a fellow a handkerchief, $3 handkerchief, and he gives me $1 million house back. That was our deal. And we did it through a kinyan sudar. So Tosfos says, I want you to know something. You don't need Edim for that. They're not essential. And he brings many raya's from Shas. And the Tosa Rosh there on that spot says, I don't know why Tosa even needs to bring raya's. It's a double repulsion. It's simple. If it's financial matters, Edim are not essential to the matter. Just recommend it. So why did Tosfos have to quote all these Gemaras to show it? It's a dumb repulsion. It's a simple matter. Financial matters, Edim are never li'ikuvim. However, there is a stunning sheet of the Ravid. Ravid is one of the Rishonim in Baba Basra, quoted by the Shita of Rebetz and Daf Mem, Rabbi Avram ben David. The Ravid says an amazing sheet. And Tosfos Sanhedrin Davod B'Shem, the Rivon, says the same thing. Amazing thing. You know what they say? They say, if you do a deal with the king in Sudar, you better have Edim there. And if the Edim are not there, the deal's not good. Everyone asks, that's crazy. It's financial matters. Edim are never essential. They say, if you use a king in Sudar or a Chalipin, you've got to have Edim. All the Rishonim deny the sheet. What's it based on? So, it's a beautiful weapon. Beautiful picture of Rasul of Egypt there. You see? What a schuss that we're able to learn Torah in the, I think it's probably the same room. So the Rav, I want to share with you a beautiful pshat that he said in the Ravid. The Rav Zatzal said like this. I feel like he's coming right out of the picture. So the Rav Zatzal said like this. He said, every kinyan in halacha, what's the major motif? It's the action. Action. You do hagbah, you do a mashicha, you lift it up, you pull it, I give money for the real estate. And then there's a side requirement that the buyer and seller are willingly doing it. Remember we said there are three ingredients? But the major motif by kinyanim is the maisa. The Rav said that's true by all kinyanim, except by a kinyan suitor. By a kinyan suitor, the essential element is the das. It's the meeting of the minds. The buyer and seller, this guy sells me a mansion worth $1 million, I give him a $3 handkerchief. It's like a joke. It's just symbolic, the handkerchief. He wants to give me his house. Maybe I'll give him money afterwards, maybe it's a gift. But the bottom line is, it's just concretizing our das, giving the handkerchief. But the most important motif of the kinyan suitor is the meeting of the minds. It's the das. And when you engage in a category that requires das, like, for example, gittin v'kiddushin, chassan and kala can't get married unless they're on a high level of das. They know what they're doing. What creates the high level of das, that environment? Having eidim there. That's why eidim are essential for a get and kiddushin. Because it is a category that requires a high level of das. And the only way you can create that environment halakhically is if there are eidim there. And so too, eidim are essential for get the kiddushin. So too, says the Ravid and the Rivam, there is a requirement to have eidim at a kinyan suitor. Because the essential element of a kinyan suitor, said the Rav Zatzal, is the das. And in order to create that environment, that das is programmed and can be inputted and is implemented, is if you have eidim there. And if you don't have eidim there, it's bad. It's not a good deal. That was the Rav's shot in the Ravid, to answer up the Ravid in the Rivam. Kinyan suitors anchored based on das. And it makes a lot of sense. I give a $3 handkerchief, the guy gives me $1 million mansion back. It must be that in our minds, it's a meeting of the minds that we're going to do this deal. We just need to show that we're going to do the deal. So I give him a handkerchief. That's what the Rav said. Now, I added on, if you look at the Ravid closely, there is a machlokus in the Gemara. When I give the fellow the handkerchief, do I get it back? So the Ravid says, according to one opinion in the Gemara, I get it back. That's where the Eidim are the Yikuva. So not only did I get his $1 million mansion, I get my handkerchief back. So at the end of the day, it's like I got two things and he has zero. What's that all about? It's all about a meeting of the minds. In that specific case, the Ravid says you need to have Eidim, because that's amplifying and highlighting how much you need the das. And whenever the das is pronounced and accentuated, you have to have Eidim. So this is the first nafkamina we want to show, that kinyan suitor is different than all other the kinyanim in halacha, and it's based on das. Because that is the major motif of this kinyan, unlike all other kinyanim in halacha. And the truth of the matter is that you understand, let's mention the second nafkamina right off the bat, the nesivis. The nesivis was the Gadol HaDor in the end of the 1700s, the Gaon Milisa, he used to live in Lisa. He wrote the Sefer Nesivis HaMishpat, he wrote many Sfarim on Novi, Nachi, the Kol Torah Kulu. So the Nesivis writes this line, that you know what's unique about Kinyan Suter? Lekayin Kol Dover, says the Poskin Rus. It can work in any area, karka, real estate, or metalton. Why? Because a Kinyan Suter is based on das. As long as there's a meeting of the minds, why can't it work to buy real estate? Why can't it work to buy a car, which is a metalton? Let it work on everything. If it's a meeting of the minds, what do we care? What do we care what you're actually purchasing? As long as everyone's in the right, everything's transparent, everything's clear, we'll get the deal done and that's it. That's a second nafkamina. That's why, since it's the only kinyan anchored based on das, it can work in any area. It doesn't have to fit the rules and regulations we started with. That karka is only keser shtar and chazaka, or metalton's hakbah, mashicha, mesira. No, kinyan suitor can work in both areas because it's just a meeting of the minds. That's a second nafkamina. Number three. Very interesting. There's a machlokus in the Gemara about Mitzvotin, Rav and Levi. Do you use Caliph Shalkona or Caliph Shalmakna? When I give the fellow who owns the mansion, I'm the buyer, he's the seller. Do I have to use the handkerchief of the buyer, the kona, or to use the handkerchief of the seller, the machna? So we pass in Caleb Shulkona because it fits better. It's a perfect swap. I give him the handkerchief, I'm the buyer. He swaps back from me. I give him my handkerchief, he gives me his mansion. So we pass in Caleb Shulkona. But there is a Tyson Gittin on Nachmen that quotes a Rashi that says, you know what? We pass you can do whatever you want. At least according to Levi. Levi says you can, we pass in Caleb Shulkona. But there is an opinion in the Rishon and Rashi who says you can use the Machna's handkerchief or mine. You can use the Machna or the Kona's, whichever one's fine. So the Rav Zatzal again, the Rav, I feel he's coming out of the picture again, but the Rav said, and I don't mean that as a joke, because there's a famous drasha of the Rav, and it's so powerful how he says when he gave shir, he used to feel Rashi coming in the room, and then Taisis coming in the room, and then the Rashba came in the room, and the Ritva. Have you ever read Bikashta Misham, how the Rav spoke about when he was a little boy? He was like 4 or 5 years old. He would get nervous. He would listen to his father giving shir in the house, and he would ask Akasha the Rambam. He would run to his mother in the kitchen and say, what's Abba going to do? How's he going to save the Rambam? She said, don't worry. He'll be able to answer up the Rambam. How he would make learning lively. It's amazing what the Rav would do. If you ever read that, you should read Bikashta Misham. So the Rav said this rule makes no sense. Make up your mind. Do you require the handkerchief of the buyer or the seller? Why does Rashi say you can do whatever you want? We don't find that. There's rules and regulations in Kinyan. Do you hold the buyer's handkerchief or do you hold the seller's? How could Rashi say either one's fine? The old Caleb Shomak, the kosher came the buyer. So what's the answer, said the Rav? The Rav said, because the whole concept of Kinyan suitors and meeting in our minds, I don't get technically hindered by whose handkerchief is this. I really don't care. As long as it's clear and transparent, we have the meeting of the minds, that's fine. And that's what Rashi's trying to convey. If you hold Caleb Shomak, the kosher can't Caleb Shomak, it's good. If it's the swap better, that I give him the handkerchief, for sure that would be good. But the detail is not important who actually owns the handkerchief. The details that we're both on the same page, and therefore this detail is not as important of whose it is. Is the buyers or the sellers? Just make sure you have something symbolic that you concretize the das. So that's 3 nafkaminas we have so far. Number 1 was Aiden being essential, the Ravid. Number 2 was the ability of Kinyansir to work in both areas. What's number 3? That you can use the Kli of the Machna or the Kona. Okay. Number 4. There is an amazing din, I'm sure you've heard of it in Hilchos Tefillah, for example. You ever heard of the din of Toch Kedei Dibor? Toch Kedei Dibor is the amount of time you can say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Yomori. You greet your Rebbe. It's like the Gemara has a case where you're buying something in a store and you see your Rebbe. So you put the cash down, but you wanted to say hi to your Rebbe. But at the last moment, I want to reverse the purchase. So we give you the ability to say hi to your Rebbe and say, listen, I don't want to buy them. You put the money on the table, but I have 3 seconds to retract. That's called Tokede Dibor, Kedibor Dami. Where do you have that in the tefillah? We started to say Mashma Ruach a few weeks ago, right? So what's the din if you're davening Shmon Esrei, you forget Mashma Ruach and Mord HaGashem, you get the Baruch Ata Hashem, and then you realize you didn't say Mashma Ruach. So what do? So Mr. Brewer, the Chavetz Chaim, the Holy Chavetz Chaim says, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Landeini Chukecha, which is a Pasuk in Tehillim in Kufiyut Tes, Kepitul Kufiyut Tes. Then you go back and you say, Mashi Baruch Amor Egashem, and then you say, V'Ne'aman Atah L'Chayos Meisim, Baruch Atah Hashem L'Chayem Meisim. That's what the Mr. Brewer passes. So Reb Moshe is a Tshuva Zatzal. He says, I find that very difficult, says Reb Moshe. What are you reciting a pasuk of Tehillim in the middle of Shmon Esrei? Reb Moshe says he thinks it's wrong. I remember as a little kid, you know, we learn Mr. Brewer, whatever Mr. Brewer says. And I remember the first time hearing Reb Moshe, we know, is the Gadol door here. Reb Moshe many times argues on the Mr. Brewer. I remember the first time I ever heard that. So Reb Moshe says, I think that's wrong. How can you recite a pasuk in the middle of Shmon Esrei, a pasuk in Tehillim? So Reb Moshe says, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, he says, you finish the bracha, Mechayim Eisim, and Toch Kedei Dibor, you say, Mashi Baruch Amor HaGashem, right away, and then you're fine. What do you mean? It was after Chaim Esim. Not too late. It's Tochen Edibur. There is a principle of Tochen Edibur Kedibur Dami. It's interesting. There are a few areas in Halacha where you don't have that. We say Tochen Edibur Kedibur Dami with the exception of Gittin and Kedushin. A guy gives it his wife again and says a second later he's joking. That's ridiculous. You don't have the ability to do it. A guy's Makadosh a girl and he says he's just joking. Gittin and Kedushin, there's no heter of Tochen Edibur. Avodah Zarah Megadif also. Guy declares to a tree that it's his God, he says he was joking. No. And if a guy curses someone also. Those four areas, the Gemara says in a few places in Shas, that Tochen Edibur is not Kedibur Dami. But normally it is. Okay. So we paskin in all deals of Kinyanim that you have Tochen Edibur. Hey, let's say, men, women, you're doing a deal, house, whatever it is, business, you're selling a business, a house, you do a Kinyan suitor, and then you want out of the deal. So the Gemara says you have longer than Tochen Edibur. And what's that called? Asukin v'oso inyan. Let's say after you do the handkerchief, they're still talking about the deal for another half an hour. And then at the end of the half an hour, one of the two parties says, you know what? I'm not interested. I'm not comfortable with this deal. I want to walk away. You can walk away. As long as they're still talking about the deal, that's called Asukin v'oso inyan. All other kinyanim, the way we paskin, as soon as you lift up that basketball, that football, or if I put the money on if I give the money to the guy for the karka, the deal is done after Tochen Edibur. I cannot retract. Only by Kinyan Sudar, by Chalipin, do I have the ability to do a Asukin v'oso inyan, that I have a longer period of time. Why is that so? So what the Rav Zatzal say, I won't say again, he's coming out of the picture, but what the Rav Zatzal say, so the Rav Zatzal said, beautiful. He says, all other kinyanim, what do we say the major motif is? The action, correct. That's a discrete action. You have Tochen Edibur after that, and once that's done, you're finished. The deal is done. But when it comes to Kinyan Seder, what's the major motif? It's the what? The meeting of the minds. And if you're still pilfering about the deal a half an hour later, is it good for us? Is it not good for us? What are the deals? You know, what are the conditions? You know, what are the numbers? Even though we did the Kinyan early, the truth is you're still pilfering about it. You're still talking about it. And my das has not been concretized. And therefore, I can walk out of the deal at the end of the half an hour. The Rav Zatzal even said that there's one kinyan, rabbinic kinyan, that's patterned after kinyan suitor. It's called Maimit Shloshtim. Maimit Shloshtim is if three people are in front of one another. A owes B and B owes C. Then they're all next to one another. So can A just, you know, they can all get the same. Just A says, you know what? Just pay C and we'll be done. There's no kinyan at all. It's all verbal. Rabbinically, that's good. What was that modeled after? Kinyan suitor, which is a meeting in the minds. So the Kinyan Derabbanan of Maimit Shloshtim, the presence of three, is also patterned after that. The Rav said that Kinyan also should have the ability to retract Asukin v'oso inyan. Because it's modeled after, what's it modeled after? It's modeled after Kinyan Seder. Any rabbinic enactment was patterned after Din D'oraisa. So what was Kinyan Seder's, the Din D'oraisa? The Kinyan D'oraisa, that was the model for this Kinyan Derabbanan called Maimit Shloshtim. Happens to be that pride is against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Maim Shloshtim, you only have Tochen Edibur. According to the Rav, you should have longer. So that Nakuda, the Rav's arguing with the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that Maim Shloshtim only has Tochen Edibur. So that is a fourth Nafkamina we have about Kinyan Seder. Let's go to a fifth one. This is an amazing one as well. Really amazing. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, Perichav Tess, Halacha Tess, that a katan is not acceptable with a Kinyan suitor. Meaning if you take a young boy or young girl below the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, they cannot do a deal with a Kinyan suitor. I don't know, let's say they had a car, they wanted to sell you a car. You had a young boy or young girl good in business, and they want to sell you a car. So you cannot use a Kinyan suitor, says the Rambam. It's not acceptable. Why not? Rambam says because every Kenyan Sudar usually comes with a shtar with it. What's a shtar? A document to prove that the deal was done. And you'll never find Edim on it, says the Rambam, that will sign on it. Says the Magid Mishnah, because any Kenyan Sudar needs a backup proof that it was done. So they had a document. But no one's going to sign on the document if one of the two parties was a cotton because they don't think it's a real deal. Young boy or young girl, the whole thing's a joke. So why should I spend my time being a witness on it? So every Kenyan needs a backup shtar, but you'll never find Edim. That's what the Magid Mishnah says. Rambam says, Kenyan Bishtar. Stam Kenyan Bishtar. Stam Kenyan is a Kenyan suitor, we said. The Rambam says, anytime he refers to Kenyan suitor, he doesn't even tell you what it is. He says, Stam Kenyan. Stam Kenyan is Kenyan suitor. That's like the archetypical Kenyan. Because it's the meeting of the minds. So, the Magid Mishnah says, every shtar it backs up the Kenyan suitor. No one's going to want to sign on such a shtar. Okay, fine. Kenyan Bishtar. So the Rav's grandfather, Reb Chaim, right, the Rav's father's father, Reb Chaim, the great Gaon, claimed, he writes that he feels that there's a misprint in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kenyan Bishtar, we said, with a base, that every Kenyan suitor comes with a shtar to back it up. He says he thinks there's a misprint in the Rambam. It should be Kenyan Kishtar, that a Kenyan suitor is compared to a shtar, the function of a shtar. What does that mean, it gets compared to a shtar? So what is a document? What is a shtar? We mentioned shtar before. When you want to buy, let's say, a piece of land, it works. There's a problem with the shtar. The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Ayin, when Edim testify, it says, Mipihem velo mipiksavim. Edim have to verbalize testimony. They cannot write it and send it into Beis Din. They have to verbalize it. So how can you ever have a document in Halacha? How does a shtar ever work? The Edom are popping out of the shtar and saying, we testify that there's a tshuva, or we testify there's a loan. They don't pop out of the shtar. How does that work? The Rambam says it right. It only works rabbinically. It does not work on a d'oraisa level. All shtars are rabbinic. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rabbanan have the right, and Dini Mamas, Hefker Beis, and have the great Din, and Dini Mamas. So the Ramban, you know, the Ramban was 9 when the Rambam died. The Ramban wanted to meet the Rambam in his life, but he was 9-year-old boy when the Rambam died. He was very upset at 9 years old. Most 9-year-olds want to, you know, they want to meet, you know, Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron. But the Ramban, when he was 9, wanted to meet the Rambam. So when he was 9 years old, the Rambam died. So many times the Ramban quotes the Rambam. He said, I don't understand. He has a kash on the Rambam. A get is in the Chumash. A get is a document. How can you, Rambam, say all documents are rabbinic? It's in the Chumash. It's in the Torah Kedoshah that there's a get. How could that be? That's what he asks on the Rambam. So both the Nesivos and Reb Chaim answer for the Rambam the following. There's two types of shtars. There's a shtar kinyan, and there's something called a shtar raya. What's a shtar kinyan? When a guy, let's say, is mekadesh a woman, he acquires the woman. If a guy is megaris his wife, God forbid, he is allowing her to acquire herself. That's a shtar kinyan. When a person, let's say, buys an evet, releases an evet k'nani, that's a shtar kinyan. That's the eraisa. But a shtar raya, a shtar of a proof of a document, like we're talking about a kinyan suitor, is rabbinic. But you see that there is a concept of a shtar at a level of the eraisa. So, what makes a star that makes it different than Edus testimony that's written? We said that Edus that is testimony that's written is not acceptable. Mi pihem, velo mi piksav. It says, al pishnayim edim yakum dover. Witnesses have to verbalize. They're not allowed to write it down. So how do you have a star? So the Balamor writes that it's mi piksav. What legitimatizes a star? The das in the sky. Who writes a star? The borrower or the lender? The borrower. The borrower writes, I owe you, or Adam testified that X owes Y $100,000. The borrower puts his das into the shtar. Das is the essential element of a shtar. That's what makes it different than Adam. Adam testifying is bad if it's written down, because they're external parties. But the borrower, who's the party that borrows the money, writes in the shtar. He gives the das in the shtar, legitimatizes and validates the shtar. That's mi peak savol. Mi peak savol is acceptable. Because the loaf was one of the two parts. He wrote it. So what is the essential element of a shtar? It is the das. The das that the loaf puts into the shtar. So said Reb Chaim, that's exactly what the Rambam is saying. Kinyan kishtar. Kinyan suitor is patterned after a shtar. The most legitimate element of a shtar is the das. The most legitimate element of a kinyan suitor is also das. So take out the bays. It's a mistake. It should be a kaf. Kinyan kishtar. And a katan or a katana, they cannot supply the das. They're too young. So they can't be one of the two parties involved in the kinyan suitor. That's why the Rambam writes a katan and a katana cannot be involved in this kinyan suitor. Because a kinyan suitor is anchored on das, just like shtar is anchored on das. And that's why it wasn't kinyan bishtar that the shtar is a backup to the kinyan suitor like the Magen Mishnah said. No. He was comparing conceptually a kinyan suitor to a shtar. So I remember Ronswag Shlita, I remember I almost jumped out of shir, jumped out of my chair in shir. Rav Ronswag found, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat, and Reish Lam and Heisefe, when he quotes this Rambam, guess what he says? He says, Kinyan Kishtar. I almost jumped out of my seat. I mean, if you look in our Rambam, the Rambam says Kinyan Bishtar, but Rav Chaim said there's something wrong with that print. It's got to be Kishtar. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says exactly that. That's why I almost jumped out of my seat. What Reb Chaim said is corroborated, Reb Ronsweig pointed out, from the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes around. But it's based on this concept of das, this amazing notion. It's not just action. Action is not the ikar kinyan suitor. It's the meeting of the minds. That's the concept of das. Let's take this a step further. There's an interesting concept in halacha. It has a lot to do with Wall Street, but for our purposes, I'm sure you're familiar with and heard of the term of futures. In halacha, we paskin, you cannot make a kinyan on something that does not exist. That's called the dover shelo bo liola. We paskin like the chachamim against your mayor. I cannot sell you something that does not exist. The Gemara talks about, let's say, fruit coming from a tree. None of it exists. I'm selling you baloney because it doesn't exist. It's a dover shelo bo liola. We cannot buy and sell a dover shelo bo liola. So there is a Ravid, again the Ravid. He wrote the sefer called Tmim Dayan. He wrote a sefer called the Tmim Dayan. I think it's the same Ravid, the one I mentioned before, even though there were four Ravids, but at least I'm saying it's the same one because it fits in nicely. But the Ravid says like this in the Tmim Dayan, amazing chiddush, amazing. He says, if I sell a future to someone with a kinyan suitor, it's good. You can't do Hakbal, you can't do Mashiach, you can't do any kinyan in the world of halacha on a future. All of a sudden, like hocus pocus, abracadabra, use a kinyan suitor, it's fine. So we don't believe in magic when it comes to learning. Everything has to make sense. Certainly Choshen Mishpat. Right? Okay, there are certain things that are halacha Moshe Sinai, certain things that are Jerez Kassim, but that's very rare in Dinim Mamas. Brisker Rav, the Rav's uncle, talks about that. In financial matters, everything's usually built on Svar, Ruzam Nechemia Zatzal. Our great Rebbe, the great Gaon, would always teach us that. Everything's based on Sfar and Chosh Mishpat usually. There are some exceptions. Very rare. Whereas in other areas of Halacha, a lot of things are Xeris Akasas. So, it could be like this. What's the Ravid driving at? If the whole enterprise of Kinyan Suitors is a meeting of the minds, then it could very well be that it works even if it's a future and it doesn't exist. Because we are so transparent. We are so on we have everything on the page with us. Everything's clear. We've dotted the I's, crossed the T's. Everything's good. You know what? Why does the item have to exist? Where, however, you talk about a kinyan, where the major element is the action, I can't do an action on something that doesn't exist. What do? I bought something that doesn't exist. Where's the thing that I can lift up or pull? If that's the Hezbollah of most Kenyan, we understand why a future's bad. But if you say that the major element is Das, which it is only by Kim Suter, and maybe Star, but Star we said for, you know, different areas, but let's just focus on Kenyan Suter. Star might only be a Star Kenyan, but since Kenyan Suter is based on Das, it could work even on something that does not exist. That is the rival sheep that comes out very well. And then there is a Tosis in Maseches Kedushin that writes, in the name of Rabbeinu Shmaya, I mentioned before, there's a concept called Zochen L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav. What is Zochen Shelo B'Fanav? I can pick up a $100 bill for a friend of mine. He didn't appoint me to do it, but I know it's in his best interest. The Rav that's Masada Kedushin, in the best interest of the college is that she should be able to have a ksuba. So therefore, she doesn't need to appoint him. It's Zochen L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav. It's in her best interest. So it's a funny Rabbeinu Shmaya. Rabbeinu Shmaya, one of the Baal HaTaisa, says, when it comes to Kenyan Suter, I know my friend would love me to sell his house for him. No doubt. So why can't I just take the handkerchief and accept it from this guy and I'll sell the house for him? I know he wants it. He's been trying to unload the house for months, for years. I just never got direct permission from him. So I would say, if you'd have asked me, for sure you can do it. It's in the best interest. It's something he would want. I know he would have appointed me a shliach. Zochen l'adam shelo b'fanav. Comes Rabbeinu Shmaya and he says, no, not acceptable. You have to do it yourself. You cannot appoint a shliach. You have to do it yourself. And he doesn't say why. So it could be maybe the following. You know what Rabbeinu Shmaya is saying? There is a Tosis written condition that says Shlichus agency does not work on a mitzvah shiva goof. I cannot appoint someone to put tefillin on his arm for me. Tefillin has to be put on my arm. I'm not Yitzchak if I don't put it on my arm. Any mitzvah shiva goof does not lend itself to agency. If you say Kenyan Suter, it's based on the Das. That's a very personal thing. And therefore, that cannot be done without being appointed as a shlich. He can't just do it on my behalf. I have to do it myself. And whoever owns the house has to be the one that sells it, and the one who buys it has to be the one that buys it. You have to be pre-appointed because the Das element is very personal. It has to be done by the buyer or the seller. And because it's Das in quotes, it's got to come from the person, or at least the shliach that was appointed by the person. But you can't just assume I'm going to be in his role or be in her place and do it. Because Das is very personal and it has to be done by the buyer or the seller. That's where Rabbeinu Shmaya is coming from. That's the finish. So, it could be now, we haven't mentioned, that the concept of Kenyan Suter usually is a swap, the handkerchief for a $1 million house. There is another track we should mention called barter, called Shava to Shava, where you say pears and oranges equal the same amount of money, you swap them. That's a different type of Kenyan Chalipin, which is called Shava to Shava, equal for equal. But we've been talking about Kenyan Suter where it was not equal for equal. And it could be that when it comes to Shava to Shava, the Rivi will say that's like Kesef. But when it comes to requiring Aiden and Kenyan Suter, that's where it will not be Shava to Shava, will be the Kenyan Suter that we've been talking about. And that's when he requires Aiden. Now, we built this whole Mahalach in the Rambam too as well. But the Rambam writes, I want you to know something. You never need aid in financial matters. That's what the Rambam says. Always recommended. So why all of a sudden does the Rambam say, Kenyan Suter, you need aid? All of a sudden? Shouldn't Kenyan Suter require aid? And Rambam says, you never need. We just said according to the Rambam you need. Why doesn't the Rambam say you should need it? Rambam says, you never need aid in ever. Financial matters. Never be cool. But we just said this whole shtickle turner from the Rav that Kenyan Suter is based on Das. So why doesn't the Rambam require aid in my Kenyan Suter? So what you have to say is that the Rambam only requires aid in if you require Das and it's a Dover Shiva Erkel. It has to be Gittin to Kedushin. If it's not Gittin to Kedushin and it's not an area that requires Das, then the Rambam says you don't need aid. The Rambam says, I agree with this whole shtickel Torah, but you don't need aid in by Kenyan Suter because it's not a Dover Shiva Erkel. Only Gittin to Kedushin is essential to have aid in. Kenyan Suter is, at the end of the day, is financial matters, and he says, I don't hold to this whole shtickle Torah to require aid. I don't. I don't require Aiden to that extent. I hold a distributor. I don't allow a cotton. A cotton will not be acceptable. But to require Aiden, you have to also be Gittin the Kiddusha. And it's not Gittin the Kiddusha. So this leads us to the following Kiddush. This leads to the following. So let's chazer over so far what we've gotten to. And then we'll get to the next Kiddush. We said that according to the Ravid, you need Aiden. We said that you can use the kli of the buyer or the seller. Either or is fine. We said you have after token idibros, asukin bosu inyan. We said it works for karkim atapu. We said a cotton is not acceptable. We said it's not good for a, it's good even for a future. It is good for a future. Other kinyanim are not. And then we said that it has to be you yourself, or at least a shliach. You can't just do it for someone without their appointment, because it's a very personal requirement of das. So this brings us to another area in halacha, which I saw just recently, which we said in shir. You know, there are two of the three most famous yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael are Panovich and Bnei Brak and the Mir in Yerushalayim, right? The Chevron yeshiva we actually mentioned earlier. And then we have our yeshiva of Ben Yitzchak Chum. So it's interesting, the Rosh Yeshiva in Ponovich was named Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. It was a great, great goyim. Mamash goyim oilim. In fact, he had medical issues. He had to come to Boston, actually, in the late 60s. And he met the Rav for the first time. And they say that he said about the Rav, he said, there's no one like him in Eretz Yisrael. They talked and learning. And the Rav said about him that he was a Talmud of Rav Shimon Shkop, who was a Rosh Yeshiva by us in the 1920s. But he said he feels like he's a Talmud more of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, than Rav Shimon Shkop. So they talked and learning a lot. So there is a Rashi in the beginning of Baba Basra that writes the following. There's a principle called Kinyan Dvarim. What does Kinyan Dvarim mean? What is Kinyan Dvarim? Kinyan of words. So Rav Zalman Nechemia Zatzal was masber to us, it means the following. Basically what it means is that kinyanim are done to transfer ownership of items. A car, a football, a baseball. Kinyanim cannot be done to show or to say that what a gaver is going to do. I can't make a kinyan that I'm going to walk across the street right after the shir. That's a joke. That's called a kinyan dvarim. Kinyan dvarim is a kinyan of just words. Kinyanim are on chafatzim, on items. They are not on what people are going to do. We're learning Baba Basra and Yeshiva. Two partners own a chatzar, a courtyard. They're going to make a fence. They want to make a fence. They can make a kinyan suitor with each other. Let's go make a fence to divide it up. Gemara says that's a joke. We don't make kinyanim on what people are going to do. So the Gemara answers, no. We make a kinyan. You get the east side, I get the west side. Well, that's on a chefsa. That's on an item. That kinyan's fine. So Rashi writes, kinyan chalipin, kinyan suitor, is bad. If it's a Kenyan farm. That's what Rashi writes. So the question is, did Rashi mean only Kenyan suitor? Or all other Kenyanim also? There's a problem with Kenyan farm. So Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, the great Yeshiva Panovich, said, of course Kenyan farm is a problem for him. I'm going to what do a Kenyan hakbah that I'm going to walk across the street. I pick up this shtender, and I'm going to walk across. That's a joke. Any kinyan has a problem of kinyan dvarim if it's on a person, if it's not on a chefzer. So why did Rashi write kinyan suitor? Because it's a chiddush, he says. And he doesn't say why. What do you mean it's a chiddush? I would have thought maybe by kinyan suitor it would have been good, even on a person. Why? Because a kinyan suitor, based on what we just learned tonight, what is a kinyan suitor? It's a kinyan das. If it's a kinyan das, as long as it's a meeting of the minds, why can't it be good on a person? Why can't it work for a person? It doesn't in the end. Kamashwan, it doesn't work. But I would add a havamina. That That's what we're saying, Pshat and Shmulezovsky, is that Kenyan Siddur is so unique, I would have thought it would have been good even for a what? Even in the form of the Kenyan Dvarim on a Gafa. So we're saying that Rav Shmulezovsky is saying what the Rav would have said. That's what I think he means. But in the Meir Yeshiva is Rav Nachum Parchovich Tzatzal. He was a great guy, and he was the son-in-law of Rav Chaim Shmuel Levin Tzatzal. So he has beautiful chidushim also. In fact, I just purchased it on Baba Basa called Chidushi Rav Nachum. And he actually writes that Rashi meant what he meant, and he meant only Kenyan Chalipa, Kenyan Siddur. Kenyan Dvarim is only a problem in Kenyan Siddur. All other Kenyanim, it's fine. Amazing. Why would Kenyan Siddur be what? Be different? Because maybe he took the Svara and went the other way. Since Kenyan Siddur is based on Das, the Das can be, it's like very conceptual. It's very virtual. There's no tangibility to it. It's not tangible. There's no malushus. So therefore, Kenyan Siddur maybe is the only Kenyan that is bad if it's on a Gavra. Because it needs to have a Chefsa. Because the whole Kenyan anyway is so esoteric. So it has to be on an item. So maybe Kenyan Chalipa and Siddur is the only one that's bad on the Gavra. But all of the Kenyan would be good. That's how Rav Nachum Parchovich Tzatzal would argue with Rav Shmulezovsky about this principle of Kenyan Dvarim. So this is what I wanted to share with you. I want to close. It's a very unique concept, Kenyan Siddur, and it's a tremendous concept, because as I said, you'll see it all the time. I'm sure when you see with Mechiras Chametz, what happens with Mechiras Chametz? Every Baal HaBos gives to the Rav. I'm not buying his chametz. I don't want chametz. What Rav wants chametz before Pesach? I don't want my own chametz. I don't want their chametz. So what is he giving me a pen for? He's making me, it's a power of attorney, he's making a shliach. Whenever you create a shliach, you do it with a Kenyan Siddur. It's the most famous Kenyan. In the old days, I used to try when I was with Sadr Kedusha to use, this is a napkin, but I used to actually bring a handkerchief, because the Gemara says Siddur handkerchief. But I always forget it, and I end up using a pen. Most Rabbanim use a pen at a chasana, or they use a pen for the Kenyan Siddur. But it's known as the classical Kenyan because it's an example of the meeting of the minds. So what I wanted to close with something in Agad and Machshava, this is we had opportunity, Leonard, to learn. This is, you know, real, real alumnus in Torah. And to understand what the underpinnings of Kenyanim are all about and the different elements about it and many nafkaminas that emerge from it. And we should be aware of what it's all about. It's a very serious thing. And whenever you have a Kenyan, you have to have the Edom see it at the Chasana, the Edom look at it, they watch the Kenyan, and then they have to write their names down. And you have to actually write, when they prepare the Ksubi, you write the Kuf. There's a kuf, they write, you fill in the kuf, it says Vakanina. Once the kinyan has been done, the Edom see it, they write inside the end, the kinyan has been done a lot of times. Not a lot, but I've been at chasanas where the Rav forgets to write the kuf in, and then that's a big problem. They have to rewrite the ksuba after the chuppah. It's all, you know, it's a big tirch and everything. You have to focus on it and be concentrated, and everyone has got to be serious about it. They shouldn't be joking around. But I wanted to just close with, you know, the concept of Talmud Torah, you know, is so important. Talmud Torah is connected kulam. And the process of Torah Shebaal Peh, of learning it, is so critical. And the concept of conveying it as a Mesorah, teaching it, talking about it, that is so, so critical. You know, there's shitas that say, we paskin, men and women are mechuyav b'birkas haTorah. There are some shitas that say we shouldn't do this, but you shouldn't think in Divrei Torah before you say Birkas HaTorah in the morning. You wake up tomorrow, you start thinking about the shir we talked about, you should quickly say Birkas HaTorah and then think about it. You really should not engage in thinking about it. But there are shitas that say thinking about it does not require Birkas HaTorah. Why? Because writing does and talking about it does, but maybe thinking not, because no one knows what you're thinking. One of the quintessential elements of Talmud Torah is saying it over to your friends, to your parents, to one's kids. you know, to one's spouses. Torah is to be passed down as a messiah, and you're supposed to talk about it. That's why there's a sheet that says, "Hear her, I'm thinking in Torah." You can't, you don't need bricks of Torah because you're not saying it over to anybody. No one knows what you're thinking. If you write it or you speak about it, then you need bricks of Torah. And there's an issue to hoard the Torah. You want to be able to convey the Torah. And you want to be excited about the Torah. One of the things is sharing the Divrei Torah with other people and also being listening. There's a listener and there is a sayer over of it. And you need both. You know, Rav Moshe Zatzal, when he came and they dedicated the library at YU, fifth floor, he came. A few times he came to YU. And he said, this is unlike any other university. It's not just books. It's the Rebbe to Talmidim, to Talmidos. It's teaching over Mora to Moros, to the Talmidim, Talmidos. It's saying over. It's more than that. There's a Mesorah. It's not just books. It's Magi Dvar of Yaakov. You're supposed to say it over. And that's the beauty of Avraham Avinu, walks around Yisrael's Conan, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Gemara's our Masbrit, the Rishonim our Masbrit, the Rebbeim to us our Masbrit. This is the process of Talmud Torah, to say over from one door to the next. I'm just a chain in the Mesorah. It's not about me, I just want to give it over and listen at the same time also. And in that vein, we disseminate the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bez Hashem, will look down on us, and we'll see that we're spreading the Torah for the right reasons, and then I'll say it's time now to bring the Mashiach that we can build Beis HaMikdash b'mehar b'yameinu. I want to thank you for listening, and thanks for coming, and everyone should have a good evening. Thank you.